And we're up to Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Vav. So these Sukkim are describing the korbanos that are going to be offered at the time of the Bayis Shlishi. And as we learned, there's a basic machlokes between the Mitzudos and Rashi, and the Radak and the Malbim are taking sides, as well as are these korbanos special miluim korbanos that are going to be offered specifically to inaugurate the Bayis Shlishi, or are these the regular korbanos, the musafim, the tmidim, that are going to be offered every single day, which are found in the Torah? And the problem with that approach, this was what Rashi quoted, it's not only Rashi, it's the Gemara. The Gemara actually says this, is that there are major inconsistencies with what it says here relative to what it says in the Torah. And Rashi actually quoted the Gemara that says because of these inconsistencies, the Chazal wanted to put Sefer Yechezkel and Geniza. It's only to the credit of Chizkiah ben Goroin, who went to the attic and he burnt the midnight oil, as we say, to reconcile the contradictions between what it says in Sefer Yechezkel and Chumash. And Rashi, every single pasuk, play by play, tells us how this pasuk can be reconciled with what it says in Chumash. And the basic approach, not only Rashi, this one from the Gemara, is that the psukim here are coming to teach you bidi evetz. Lichatchila, the Torah is an ideal. What you should bring how many parim, how many elim, how many kvasim, and what the size, what is the share of the menachos and the sachim. But bidi evet, after the fact, if the kohanim, there's a shortage, or there is some whatever reason, the situation is such they cannot bring the requisite number of animals, it's okay. Bidiyaved, you can bring less, and you yoyit say the mitzvah 100%. Obviously, it's a very big chiddush, because we always are brought up with the idea, we always assume that in time of the Moshe Mashiach, it's going to be a perfect world, utopia. There's going to be no shortage of food and of peace. Ulashalayim ein kates. So if there's no shortage of peace, so certainly with that comes the ultimate bracha of wealth, prosperity. How could it then be that they're not going to have enough animals? They're only going to have 6 lambs instead of 7 lambs. A sheep is not from the most expensive creatures, animals. The sheep in the Torah, everyone, it doesn't appear to have been a major ordeal for the Beis Hamikdash, for the Musafim to come up with another lamb. And yet, that's exactly what these psukim are teaching us. That if you cannot find what you need, it's okay to bring even less. And continuing in this theme, we go to pasuk vav uviyoyim achodesh. So, what is going to be the special? Yesterday we spent time learning about the musaf of Shabbos, and here we're going to learn about on Rosh Chodesh. What do you bring on Rosh Chodesh? Uviyoyim achodesh, par ben mokar tamim. You bring one par, ben Bakar from the Bakar family, Timimim, v'sheshes kivasim v'ayil Timimim yihiyu, 6 lambs. What is that all about? In the Torah on Rosh Chodesh, we bring 7 lambs, ayil and 1 ayil, Timimim yihiyu. Let's see, one pasuk zayin ve'efa lapar. How much flour will be offered? So we know that you bring 3/10 of an efa, and for a par. And here it says you bring an entire efa lapar. The eifel aisle, in Torah it says you bring 2/10 of an eifel for an aisle, and here it says you bring an entire eifel aisle. Ya'aseh mincha v'la'kavasim kasher tasig yado. When it comes to the kavasim, what is the mincha? It's his discretion. It's the discretion of the nasi. By the way, who is bringing this? The one that brings this kavasim says is the nasi. It's also a little bit strange because we assume the one that brings it should be the kohanim, not the melech, or not the kohen gadol. Okay, whatever it means, that it'll be up to the discretion of the nasi how large the mincha shall be for each one of the kavasim. The shemen hin loefa. That's not discrepancy. How much oil accompanies each eifa. So it says here hin. In the Torah, for a par, it's a quarter of a hin. For an ayil, it's a shlishis ahin, a shlishis ahin. And for the other way around. So for a par, it's a shlishis ahin. For an ayil, it's a reviyis ahin. And for a keves, it is an asiris ahin, a tenth of a hin. And here it says that you bring an entire hin of oil for each eifa. Pasukas. Yeah. That's what the mitzvah says. Ani ma'amin be'muna shleima shloi te'atar muchlefes v'loi te'atara acher. What do you say in the ani ma'amin? In the good old days, I used to say the Ani Mamis every single day. It's a wake-up call for me. I should go back and say the Ani Mamis every day. Ani Mam Tess. Ani Mam Bimun Shleimu Shezoy Satayra. Loi Sei Mukhlefes. Nothing is going to change. It's part of the basic principles of faith. V'loi sehei Torah acheres me'es ha'boireh yisparach shema. So how that can possibly, that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be a different set of laws, a different set of rules. It flies against the face of the 13 principles of the Rambam, and many, many, many of the Rishonim accept, not everyone, but many Rishonim accept the Rambam's Yud Gimel Midos, of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. So, you got a problem, right? Can't be anything different. I mean, that's the simple answer. You don't need more than that. That is why Rashi struggles. He struggles to show there really is no contradiction. The Mitzudos, as we said many times, says these are not, we're not dealing here with the korbanos of the Musaf. We're dealing here with a special, unique set of korbanos that was only offered for the duration of 190 days to inaugurate the Bayis Shlishi. And just like there were unique korbanos for the Mishkan of Moshe, and unique korbanos for the Bayis of Shlomo, and unique korbanos for the Bayis of Ezra, likewise, these are a unique set of korbanos. It's not going against anything in the Torah. The Miluim demand that there be Chiddush, there be something unique. Nothing more than that. These are the two basic approaches. Okay, let's see over here, let's see one another Pasuk Ches. Let's stop. Let's see that these two psukim, these are completing these two psukim in the Mitzudos and Rashi first. Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Vav, there is no Mitzudos David. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. Uvilakavasim, written Lema, Lakavasim, Yavi Mincha Kifi Asogas Yodoi. Very strange. So, with regard to the Keves, there are three basic animals with regard by Korbanos. There's the Par, the really four animals. There's the Par, the ayil, the keves, and the so'ir. The so'ir is usually used as a korban chatos. And even amongst the par, and with these four animals, sometimes it's specific, it should be males, sometimes it should be females. And then we have the birds, which is a separate parasha. But here it says, with regard to the kvasim, each type of animal has its unique complement of flour and oil, and in the Torah, the amount of flour that is offered together with the keves is a tenth of an ephah. And here it says that the amount of flour that will accompany the keves is dependent upon the decision of the generosity of the nasi. According to his hasogas yado, that simply means his wealth, his assets. Umarbis ha'oishar she'imoi, depending upon his wealth, he will decide, the nasi will decide what should accompany this carbon, this keves. Unlike the par and the ayil, there is no choice whether he likes it or not. He must bring an entire ephah, okay, which is much more than what the Torah demands. Pasik ches, okay, that's ready further. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasik vav and zayin. Uviyam achodesh par ben makol timimim. So Rashi here now is lishi tosoi. That over here we're trying to connect what it says here to what it says in the Chumash. Rashi mikra zedoshu rabbeinu b'menachas. Rashi is not saying his own chidushim. Rashi is drawing from the Gemara Masechta Menachos. And when it says par, my tamalomar, what is the meaning of here? One par. Being that we know in the Torah on Rosh Chodesh we offer two parim, and here it's only one par. Minayin, how do we know she'im lo motza shnayim yavi echad? How do we know that it's not me'akev? The Klal Yisrael has been yoitze, they have fulfilled their obligation if only one par was offered. V'kach ne'mar par. That is what Yechezkel is teaching us about Yemos HaMashiach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is satisfied with Bidiyavetz. Okay, there's plan A and there's plan B. The Chatchila, there's an ideal world, and then there is the practical world. Okay, most things that look good on paper do not work in the real world. We all know that to be very true, right? You can have all your hopes and dreams and inspirations, and when you try Halacha L'maisa, to do something practically, you come to realize very quickly it's a very different world, and that's what we're learning over here. Ideally, there are two parim, but practically speaking, if you can achieve to bring one par, that is sufficient. Why does it say six? there are supposed to be on Rosh Chodesh 7 lambs. Here it says 6. To teach you, minayin shem loy motza shiva yavi shisha lekach nemar v'sheishas kivasim. 6 is also okay. What happens if you can't find 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, even 1? Minayin afilu echad. This long, the Rashi here is condensing the Gemara. The Gemara goes through the whole Chag Gadya. How do you know even down to 1? These words indeed are extra. Okay, I'll actually read you the Gemara. I have over here my very nice, fancy, super deluxe edition of the art scroll. They quote here the Gemara. I'll read you the whole Gemara. The Gemara over here, it says, par. Just bear along with me. It's easy, very easy Gemara. Par. Gemara Masechta Menachah. It's Matam Olamah. Why does it say par? Lefi Shnei Marbe Torah. Parim. Uminayin Shem Loi Matzah Shnayin Levi Echad. Tamulem apar. Okay, that was we quote from Rashi. We just said next. Sheishes kivasim, 6 lambs. My tamulem lefishnem kaz v'torah shiva. It says there are 7 lambs. Uminayin. How do we know sheim loymatza shiva yavi shisha tamulem ar sheishes? Uminayin. Here is what Rashi does not quote. Here is the addition. Uminayin shem loymatza shisha yavi chamisha. 5 is also good. Loymatza chamisha yavi arba'a. Arba'a yavi shloisha, shloisha yavi shnayim, v'afilu echot, hamolemar v'lakivosim, asher tasig yado. Now, this is a drasha, because the pshuta shel mikra is not referring to the number of lambs. The pshuta shel mikra is referring to the mincha that accompanies the lambs. The pasuk says, when it comes to a par, you bring in a complete eifa. When it comes to an isle, you shall bring a complete eifa. When it comes to a keves, how much flour should accompany the keves? So the pshutai shel mikra, the simple translation is, bring as much as you want. The nasi will make a decision, it's his discretion to decide what he wants. That is the pshutai shel mikra with regard to the kvasim. How much flour should you bring? It depends. Kasher tasig yado, it's a variable, let the nasi decide. However, chazal darshin, they take the pasuk out of its context, and they tell you that when it says v'lakavosim kasher tasig yado, don't translate this in reference to the mincha. Translate this in reference to the number of animals. Lichatchila there should be 7. B'diavet 6 is good, as it says in the beginning of the pasuk 6. Let's say you can't find 6, you only have 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1. V'lakavosim kasher tasig yado. If you only have 1 animal, or 2 animals, or 3 animals, whatever you can do, Hashem is satisfied with. Chanukah. Let's say you only have the 8th out of Chanukah, and you only have 5 candles. Should you light 5 candles, or should you light only 1 candle? What's the halacha?
It's not. There are 1 candle. We do
But let's say you can't find the correct number. Lichatchila, you're supposed to light on the 8th out of Chanukah 8 candles. Let's say you only have 5. So maybe it's misleading. Either do it the right way, 8. And if you can't do it the right way, so do it. The next is Ner Ishu Beisai. Just 1 candle. Don't have more candles when the additional candles do not reflect the correct day. So I believe the halacha is, I'm not 100%, I'm pretty sure, I'm 95% sure, is that the halacha is no. Even though you're not lighting 8, it's the 8th day, you're not lighting 8, if you only have 5, so light 5. Don't light 1. Don't make the mistake and think that sin, it's either all or nothing. It's 8. It's 8th out of Hanukkah. So I can't do 8. If I can light 5, it looks strange. It's misleading. It's misleading.
But
so then,
do
yeah, you put them in. So which women? Which ones do you put it in?
Right.
Good question. I don't know. I would imagine you go from the 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. I would imagine 3. I would imagine you go down. I don't know. I know. I have to go look into this. Okay, maybe we'll hold a little Hanukkah. A very good safe in the laws of Hanukkah. So maybe a new safe. We use it already last Rosh Hashanah time. All right, but any event. It's a very interesting shaila. Is that interesting shaila? So what should you do? You can argue both ways. You can argue both ways and say, since you're not doing the mahadrin min hamahadrin, you should just light 1 candle. Because that's what the halacha is. The halacha is ner ish ubeisai. V'hamahadrin ner l'chol echad v'echad. V'hamahadrin min hamahadrin moisif v'hoylech. So if you can't go do all 8, so l'char you would say, so go back to the next one. Every one of them should light 1 candle. Let me ask you another question. Let's say you have a family, and let's say there are 5 people in the family, and you don't have enough. You don't have. Let's say you only have 3 candles. 3 candles. So should three members of the family, each one light one candle? Or since you're not going to be mekayim ner l'chol echad v'echad, you're not going to have enough one candle for each member of the family, fall back to the ikar halacha, and the ikar halacha is ner ish ubeisai. The Rosh Habayis lights one ner for the entire household. In other words, the Chazal gave you guidelines. Ner ish ubeisai. The next madrega is ner l'chol echad v'echad. The next madrega is each individual should be moisif ha'holach. Each one should light the corresponding to the number of days. If you can't do it b'shleimusai in the complete number, so you should fall back to the correct, to the next level, and don't go do something in between. It's misleading. I believe that's not the halach. The halach is you do even if you don't have enough. So everyone, you do three. If three only have three candles, everyone should light one. Three people should light one candle, and the other ones will be yotzei with the Rosh Habayis. If you only have for yourself five instead of eight, so light five. You see a precedent to that concept right here. You sit over here, and this halach over here. Over here, you have over here the requisite correct number of korbanos are two parim, one ayil, and seven lambs. And over here, it's teaching you that if you don't have seven lambs, it's good, you can light six. If you don't have six, five, four, three, two, one is okay. Likewise with the parim, if you don't have two, one is good enough. You see a precedent in halacha that it doesn't have to be perfect. If it's not perfect, you can still compromise somewhere in the middle.
But sometimes it's not that way. Sometimes there's insistence that you know.
Okay, so you have to know each mikzay and halacha obviously has its own guidelines. You are absolutely correct.
Half a sukkah is no sukkah.
Right, exactly. exactly, right. So sometimes, yeah, if you don't have the dalet minim, I'll only take three of the four minim.
Right, that's a good example.
You're wasting your time.
You're wasting your time.
I only have three parashios.
That's right.
It's a bracha levatol. Don't put it on you altogether. So dear
lechayra, those numbers you mentioned
right.
Are ma'akev. Here it's not ma'akev.
Right.
Well,
so
that's the chiddush.
Right. So you have to know how to differentiate. You have to also understand like that because also you're being moisiv in the ner itself. When you come to the dalet meaning, there are four distinct meaning. When it comes to the ner, it's just another ner. It's also it's a mahadrin. It's a din of hidur. It's not a din of the ikar halacha. Obviously, okay, we're not going through all the minute details, but obviously you have to go and understand. But here you have a very big chiddush. Yeah.
But here we have a pasuk that gives you a heter through downside.
Exactly.
How do you know about a ner is there such a?
Well, didn't the ner chanukah is only midrabban? The ner chanukah, the din of ner chanukah is only a midrabban. Mikra din, it's ner ushabesei. Okay, so like I told you, I don't have in front of me the details, all the sources, and probably everything is also anyway in machlekes, or everyone is but I just want to point out that I'm just trying to make a point. When over here you're dealing with korbanos, Torah is very specific. Chanukah is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, and Chazal gave us three different madregos of doing the mitzvah. And then you have situations where you can't do it the way Chazal told you to do it. You're stuck in the middle. What are you to do? I'm just pointing out, look, here, at least in one respect, you have a precedent where the Torah is giving you numbers, seven kivasim. Seven kivasim in one respect is similar to seven neros, eight neros, because they're all the same. It's not like a par. Let's say it's Rosh Chodesh. I don't have the aisle. I only have a par and a keves. Am I yotzei the mitzvah, the musaf of Rosh Chodesh? L'chayr or not, you need to have at least three animals. You have to have a par, an ayil, and a keves. But in the number of kivasim, in the number of parim, that is where Yechezkel is coming to give leniency. So obviously everything depends. I just want to point it out. You have over here a precedent of such a concept. Let's go further. Okay, so that's how the drush, a very beautiful drush, how we take the word of kvasim out of context and we interpret it in reference to the number of kvasim, not lefi shulmikra, where it's really discussing the amount of flour. Okay, now let's see Rashi. We did Rashi. That was the Gemara. Okay, let's go now further in Rashi. The next Rashi is v'kvasim. So let's say we're finished. Okay, now we go to pasik ches. We're up to pasik ches. Uvavoid hanasi derech ulam hashar yavoy uvidarko yetzei. Okay, the nasi is the melech or the kohen gadol. He comes in from the east. We mentioned this before. He goes and leaves from the same gate. We're now going to the sugya of the kapandaria. The Kapandaria is a shortcut. We mentioned this before. It was mentioned briefly before a few last week. And here, the Pesukim actually mentioned in much more detail. And we lay in this, in this part of the Haftarah. This is the Haftarah of Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh. And this idea, indeed, is a very popular idea. The Melech has the permission to come and leave the same entrance. However, Pasuk Tes, Uvivoy Amoretz, the common man, Lefnei Hashem, Bamoadim, on the festivals, Haba derech shar tzafon lishtachavoyz yetzei derech shar negev. Those who come in from the north must leave from the south. The Haba derech shar negev, those who come from the south yetzei derech shar tzafon, they have to leave from the north. Lo yashuv derech hashar shebovo, they may not exit the same way through which they have entered. Ki nichecho yetzei, they are required to exit, to depart from the opposite side. You have a choice. You can come from the north, leave the south, south, the north. It doesn't make a difference which way you come. But the point is, you must leave from a different exit.
What if you come from the east?
Not allowed to. The only one that's allowed to come from the east is the Melech. That's what it seems to say. That's what it seems to say. The only one that can come from the east is the Melech. Everyone else on the Mo'adim have to come
so
only...
Even though they open it specifically on those days, the only one that can walk in is the Melech?
It seems correct. It seems we learned. I don't know anything. Yesterday we learned that when they came to the east, they only came to bow down. Did not say they actually entered. When we learned yesterday that on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, okay, this is the Moad. You're saying very good. Let's focus on the words. Yesterday it said that it's open on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh.
But I think Rashi said it means the Moadim too. Somebody said it means the Moadim also.
That was an interpretation when, according to one opinion, because then the korbanos did not match up, right? I don't remember all the pieces put all the pieces together. You're right. But let's assume for the sake of simplicity that was Shabbos. There it said exclusively on Shabbos, and there it said it was open on Shabbos, and they came just to be present and to bow down. Here they actually have to come. They actually have to offer. We'll see in the first. You have to offer korbanos. Oil asriya shalni chagiga. It's not enough just to come and bow down. They have to actually enter and offer a carbon oila, and a carbon shlamim. So being that they must actually enter, it's not just enough to appear in front of the gate, bow, and leave. That's why they come from the north and exit south, or south exit the north. Okay, that's what it is. I'm just saying a very simple difference between what it said before and what it says over here. Here they're actually coming as the moed. And the Moed, there are more demands. See, Pasuk Tes, it says, B'moadim. Okay, let's see, Pasuk Yud, V'hanasi, B'soicham. Now here is something which requires Hezber, Rashi, Mefarsh, everyone's going to struggle with this. The Nasi will be B'soicham. He will mingle with the people. Now what does that mean? Does that mean he's going to also go from the north and the south? Can't be, because just one moment ago, the Nasi goes from the east. V'hanasi B'soicham, B'voyam Yavau, U'vitzeisam Yitzehu. When they come, he comes. When they leave, he leaves. What does that mean? We'll see in a few moments. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Uvachagim, Uvamoadim, and on the festivals and the Moadim, what is the difference between the Chag and the Moed? So that requires explanation. Similarly, the Chag is Sukkos, and the Moed is Pesach and Shavuos. Tiyah HaMincha, the Mincha shall be in Eifa Lapar, Ve'eifa Lo'ayil, Ve'lakavasim Matas Yodo, V'shem Hin Lo'eifa, repetition. Exactly what we said before. Well, I shouldn't say it's a repetition, because before we only discussed Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Here it is on the Chag of the Moad, but really, we did mention really before the Chag of the Moad as well. I'm not sure. We'll see the first in one moment. But basically, over here, it's telling us that the Mincha is going to be upgraded. It's not going to be the same Mincha like it says in the Torah, which is going to be a quarter of an ephah, two tenths and one tenth, but rather it's going to be a complete ephah. And for the keves, it's going to be the discretion of the nasi. That's what it says. Let's see these psukim all together. A lot of psukim together. Pasuk starting with pasuk ches in the mitzudo stavit. Pasuk ches says avoh hanasi, kasha yavoi hanasi lamod b'shas hakrovas hakarbonosaf. When the navi comes to be present, when the karbonos are offered, he will enter derchul mashar yavoi return loyma yilo yavoi derch apiska lishkoha atachtoina psucha lechatz apnimi. He will not enter through the chambers, the tachtoinos, which are opened to the chotzer hapanimi, she'ein bohem ulam lefnehem, ki im yavoi bepumbi, in public, he should come, bepumbi means Pumbi means in the open. In the open, the Shar Hagodol Derech Ha'ulam, through the entranceway, Hanimshach Mehashar Velachutz, from the Shar outwards, Kimo Shenem Lamala Kishiyavo Lecho Lechem Ufnei Hashem. Now, what he means over here is, if you remember, thinking back on it, we have to really look at pictures, is that in the Chotzer Hachitzoyna, remember the big square, the Chotzer Hachitzoyna, there were four massive chambers. And the two chambers that were closer to the east, if you remember, had a little teeny entranceway, which allowed you, if you were into that chutzar, those two massive chambers, you can sneak your way into the azara. Technically, there are three ways. Now, the azara gzuntait, I mean the chutzar hapnimis. Remember, picture in your mind again, the baye shlishi. It's a very, very big square, and in the center there is a little square. In the little square is the mizbeach. And that connects to the Hechel, the Ulam, the Hechel, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, how do you go from the big square, which we're calling the Chotzer HaChitzoyna, into the Chotzer HaPnimis? Well, there are three major entrances. There is on the east, what was the equivalent of Shar Nikinor, and there's an entrance on the north, and there's an entrance on the south. But there's another way you can get into the Chatzar HaPnimis, and that is if you go into those two of those big, massive lishkois, because the very edge, the very tip of those two lishkois had a special tunnel, a special passageway into the Chatzar HaPnimis. So the Kohen Gadol's, or the melech's security detail, will demand, it's not safe for the melech to go in through the main entranceway. Too many people are standing around. We don't want to go near the melech. So let's take him in privacy. We'll take him into one of those chambers. And in that chamber, we'll go in the little tunnel. We'll go from that little chamber into the Chatzar HaPnimis, which we also call the Azara, so he can bring his korbanos. No. The Pasuk here says, that's exactly what it's teaching, when the Nasi enters into the Chatzar HaPnimis, he should go in through the main entrance. He should make a spectacle. Everyone should see him. It should be Bifarhesia. The media should report the Melech has arrived. They should be taking pictures. Everyone should see exactly what is taking place. It should be Bifarhesia. Don't look for tunnels and little special secret passageways to get where he needs to go. It should be done bepumbi. That's the point that this pasuk is making according to the interpretation of the Mitzvah Stavah. That's the primary point. Uvivo ha-nasi, when the Nasi comes, no games here. No underground tunnels. No entranceways, teeny little entranceways going from the Lishkois into the Chatzar HaPnimis. Uvivo ha-nasi, derech ulam ha-shar yavai. Bepumbi. Publicity. It should be out in the open. Uvidarko yetze, when he leaves, likewise, he should leave through the main entranceway. Next words of the Mesudos. Uvidarko yetze, b'derech hashar shabo yeh chayzav yetze. And the second chidush that this pasuk is teaching us going to the Mesudos is that he should leave and exit from the same entranceway. There is no concern of familiarity breeds contempt. Right, the Yisraelim, as the next pasuk says, has to, you come into the east, the north, you go to the south, south, north. Don't go back and forth, and the similar reasons, because we do not want you to get too comfortable. Don't get too comfortable with the Beis HaMikdash. It's not your home. This is a sacred place. You have to have the Yiras HaRimimus. That principle does not apply here, at least in this respect, to the Melech. He comes and goes from the same way. Pasuk Tes, in the Mitzudos, Bamawadim, ki oz hachoyv al kol liyos nire ba'azara, k'moy shenemar, shalo eshva mashal yir kol zuchurchas over here. I think this is also coming up to support my idea, your question, Nehemiah, of what's the chilik between why now is it different than what it said before? Why now do we demand they should come on the Moadim from the north and south and not the east? Because here we're dealing with the Moadim and everyone is chayef to come to mekayim the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Ki michecho yetze. The next words are that when he leaves, he should leave on the opposite side. Neged hamokoim shebo yetze, opposite. Pasuk Yud, the Hanasi. Now we have a very difficult pasuk. What is the pasuk come to repeat of here in Pasuk Yud that we don't already know? Return Loimar. Oz b'moadim gam Hanasi yelech b'socha'am v'imohem ki zehu hadras melech l'leches b'rabasam. Bivoyam b'derech shboyam yovo imohem u'derech tzeh sam yetzihu im ha'am loy k'derech bo b'shar yimoy sashana sheyovoy b'shar mizrachi v'choyiz b'derech shabam. So here he's teaching us humility. Humility of the Nasi on the Mo'adim only. Only on the Mo'adim. Not on Rosh Chodesh. Not on Shabbos. Not during the day. Not during the week. During the Mo'adim, the Nasi as well enters either from the north or from the south and exits from the opposite entrance. It's only during the weekday if he needs to come, or on Shabbos or on Rosh Chodesh. That's the only time when the Nasi comes from the east. He enters and he leaves from the east. Why are the Mo'adim different? It's Nimus. It's Derech Eretz. Proper etiquette. Where he should be part of the people. He should join the people. He should connect to the people by walking together with them. Pasuk Yud Aleph.
He shouldn't come on off hours, he should only come during the time.
That's what I was thinking, or at least he should mingle, make sure he mingles, don't
you want the pump, you want
right.
people to see it.
Okay, that's a very nice interpretation. Maybe someone says that, but it's not what the Mitzudo says. Ayin panim l'tayra. Okay, ayin panim perish Dr. Friedman.
Well, I'm saying he still has to go himself.
Mingle, right? He should mingle. That means really means both. Means both. Both ways. Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph v'chagim moadim u'v'chagim u'moadim. Now over here, l'tosefes be'ar. What does this mean over here? L'tosefes be'ar. In order to give more explanation, kafal b'shemus near dofim. We repeat words, we use synonyms to express the idea with more intensity. V'chein admas ofar, oy. No, is there two? V'chagim u'moadim. Same thing. Why there are two words? Why there are two words which mean exactly the same thing? So there's no difference. It's like admas ofar, which means earth. Two words which mean the same thing. Next, O Yitachin, Sha'ama ze al Shavuos, Verosha Shana Vimakipurim, Shiyu Vimeshachim Hamiluim, Shlo Yosifu Bochem, Kabonis Behem, Beshvil Hamiluim. They refer over here to the other Mo'adim that were not mentioned. We explicitly mention in the beginning of this parak Pesach and Sukkos. And we ask the question, what about Shavuos? What about Rosh Hashanah? What about Yom Kippur? So we struggle with this. And what was the Malbim? The Malbim's answer was the beginning and the end. The Milum will go on for 190 days, and the Milum, we spent the whole Friday going through the calculation to correspond to the Miluim of the Mishkan, Shlomo, Ezra, plus what necessary in the Bayis Shlishi, plus the Nisim. The Nisim, the 12 days of the Nisim, 12, 24, 36, 48, plus the Miluim, which was 7, 14, 21, 28. Add up all those numbers, it's exactly 190, which starts on Pesach, ends on Shemini Atzeres. So the Pesukim focused on the beginning and the end. What about the middle? What about Shavuos? What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So he's suggesting that's exactly what we're coming out to fill in when it says the Chag and the Moed, referring to Shavuos. Shavuos is the Chag. And the Moed would then be Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That's another interpretation. O Yitachin, Sha'ama Ze'al Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Shayu B'meshach Mi'amiluim, Shlo Yosifu Uchem Kabonis Behemo B'Shvil Hamiluim. Nothing special. During these times, just offer the regular Kabonos. According to, again, the Mitzvah Shitasai, that all the Kabonos mentioned in these Pesukim are referring specifically to the Miluim. Avol Sivu L'Hois, but however, even though the Kabonos are going to be exactly the same, the Pesukim here are instructing us that the Menachos shall be offered. Special set of menachos shall be offered during these festivals, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, in honor of the inauguration. Lohoise pohem menachos al hakabonis haketzuvos v'toyra b'levad hamenachos haruyos l'fi lohem kifi mishmetei haTorah. And these extra korbanos that are being mentioned over here, the menachos, that the mincha shall be complete eifa, shall be in honor of the miluim. That's why it's going to have a different set of rules. According to the generosity of the melech hamashiach. Okay, now let's see Rashi. Going back to pasuk ches. Rashi pasuk ches says, Motsasi, I found. Uvay hanasi. Do you have that word in your edition? The word motsasi in Rashi.
No.
You don't have it. Rashi pasuk ches. My Rashi.
Yeah, right before pasuk ches, the last word in the previous pasuk says
motsasi. Okay, so I have it here afterwards. Whatever this means, who wrote motsasi? The editor. I don't know if it's Rashi, not Rashi. Whatever it means, it says here uvay hanasi. Biyoyim and Rashi l'shitasa learns. Rashi l'shitasa is always telling us that these psukim are referring to the matching up the psukim here to what it says in the Torah. B'machodesh v'Shabbos v'Reishis she'ein yisrael mitzuvin al hari'ia v'hu bo l'hishtachavos. So I guess Rashi l'shitasa, because Rashi, like you mentioned that when it said yesterday b'machodesh, what did Rashi when it said yesterday? Pasachas says of Yom HaChodesh Parash Ben Bakar, tell me Parash Ben Bakar one more time. B'yom HaChodesh Uv'Shabbos Bereishis. And where does Rashi here say Shabbos Bereishis? Where does he get that from? I have no idea. She'ein Yisrael Mitzuvim Al Hariya V'hu Bol Hishtachavois. And they come to bow down. Derech Ulam HaShar Yavoy V'Darko Yeitzei
B'Oysa Shar.
What? Is Rashi going back? This is Pasuk Ches.
Yeah, no, but he's talking about when was the Shaar Mizrach open? It was
only on Shabbos.
Shabbos
and Rosh Chodesh. Okay, going back. So it's reviewing what we learned before. On Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. So the Melech will come. Derech Ulam HaShaar Yoleh Udarko Yetzeh. Be'oysa Shaar Atzma Yetzeh. Ve'enu Mitzuvu Lahasayis HaZara Kapandaria. The Melech is not obligated on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh to walk through the Beis HaMikdash as a shortcut to go from one end to the other. Aval, however, the next pasuk goes on to require b'mo'adim shenemar bochem yeroeh kol zuchurcha zoku kula asos kapandario kishar'am. The Melech has the same obligation to exit from a different entrance. Hainu d'chsev b'soicham. That's what the pasuk means to say. B'soicham b'voyim yavo v'tzosim yitzeh. It's exactly what the mitzvah said. Is that on the mo'adim, the mitzvah l'regel, so he also has to go leave differently, not to become too familiar. Pasuk tes v'voy am aretz v'azor derech shad sofen v'derech shad negev yavo v'lo derech shad kodim. That the Jewish people, the hamayinam, they never go from the east gate, like we already said before. Shekvar amar. Ish lo yavoi boy, af hanasi in a boy elo l'secha ulam mibuchutz. Likewise, the nasi only comes to ulam mibuchutz ki nicho yetze mitzvah aleihem sheyirahu b'secha zara. He had an obligation to appear. Yofe, yofe. Okay, so what does that mean? What does Rashi mean over here? Very interesting.
In.
What?
It means to go all the way in for the Azara.
That's what it means? So if you're going to go from north to south, yofe, yofe. If you're going to go from the east
and you just bow down and
back out, that's not called Yafa Yafa. Or even if you go from east and then leave on the north, or go from east and turn left and go to the south, that's also not called Yafa Yafa. The only way, saying a very interesting translation, the word Yafa is a very hard word to translate. Ato yodati ki isha yifas mare at. What does it mean, isha yifas mare? What's the taitch of yofi? Emes. The emes v'yatzev v'nochen v'kayim v'yosha v'neman v'yov v'chov v'nechma v'nora v'adi u'musugim v'kul v'tov v'yofeh hadavar hazeh. What does that mean? What does that mean, yofeh? It's a very hard word to translate. I don't know. Every made from the context, you'll say simply. All depends on the context. And here it says yofeh yofeh. As Rambam is saying, it means thoroughness. Thoroughness. Yofeh means if you come in from the north and you leave on the south, or vice versa, you have completely gone
full
through.
Circle.
What?
Full circle.
Not the right, full circle, you've completely conquered. You have traversed the entire width, scope of the Harabais, of the Azara. That's a very interesting idea. Okay, Pasuk Yud.
Actually, the Malbim here mentions that Yisrael, we're not allowed to go into the Shaar Mizrach.
Not allowed to, it's awesome.
Mubum yizeh derav sham ezrochi lo hoyolem reshus likaneh shulatzeis. Agam shi pasef yom ha-shabos.
They just bow down. They just bow down by the Shah Mishra. Only north and south. It's so interesting because in the Mishkan and the Bahai Shushan and Bahai Shem, that was the only way to get in. And now in the Bahai Shlishi, it's off limits. Say, so we lost our chance. We lost our chance. The Bahai Shushan and Bahai Shem, that was the only time you can go in from the east. No more. Now it's only going to be the north and the south. Pasuk Yud. V'hanasi, v'gam hu kishenichnas lazar l'lover l'bapishpash, when the nasi comes into the azar to go to his office, his little private office on the left side of the heichol, hadroimi l'shtachavois, gam hu mitzvah lov l'asoyis hazara kapandarya, he's no different in the hamoinam, v'yavoy derech shar tzofon, v'yetze derech shar negev, im shor amoretz, v'yikonitz v'yetze nichoy derech shar hachacher. So, first of all, why does he suddenly go from the north? I guess, why the north? I guess maybe since his office on the south, so I guess you want him to travel more, maybe? Whatever. For whatever reason, it says he goes from the north and he has to leave on the other side. Everyone is the same. V'lo yavo derech shar ha-mizrachi k'derech hushubo b'yom ha-chodesh u'yom ha-shabbos b'reishis sha-shar ha-mizrachi ein nechichoy shar b'ma'arav. Why can you go from the east and leave from the west? Because there is no west. There is no exit on the west. The west is completely sealed, so therefore it's only going to be in order to go and go through, conquer, to go walk through the entire Azara, you have to go from the north to the south, or from the south to the north. Why would you choose one way, not the other? So the only thing I could imagine is because Chazal said, Haroitze lahachkin yadrim. Haroitze lahatzvin. Haroitze lahashir. You want to become wealthy? Yatzvin. When you daven, if you want to become wealthy. So which way should you tilt? You tilt to the north. Why? The shulchan is in the north. The shulchan is a symbol of Ashiros. Keser Malchus. If you want to become a chacham, which way should you tilt during Yishron Esrei? To the south. Because the menorah is in the south. And the menorah is a symbol of Torah, of chachma. The Rav, which side of the Aron HaKodesh does the Rav sit? So the Rav is supposed to traditionally sit on the north side. On the north side of the Aron HaKodesh. So therefore, if the Aron HaKodesh is facing east, so which is, if this is the east, so which side is the north? The north is the left side, right? So why is the north, this halach, why is the Rav sit on the left side, traditionally? Because the Rav is supposed to be a person who is haroitze lahachkin yadrim. So if the Rav is sitting on the north side, he can turn towards the Aron HaKodesh. And when he turns towards Yon Kodesh, he's turning to the south. And that's what you want the Rav. You want the Rav to be a Talmud Chacham. Isn't that what the Rav's role is? To be a Talmud Chacham. But if you're in Shul, where the Rav is on the right side, so that means the Rav is on the north side, and the only place for the Rav to turn is, on the south side, so the only place for the Rav to turn is to the north, that means the Rav is interested in a race. He's in business. All right, so that's not the proper role for the Rav. The Rav is supposed to be, that's what we're brought down. It's brought down. What?
Politician.
So it's brought down that the proper place for the Rav is to be on the left side. But it's not always the case. In fact, I think by most Rebbes, most shuls, it's not like that. I think most shuls, the Rav is on the right side. Is that not the case?
Well, if you're facing it, it's on the right, most places.
What?
Most places that I see, it's on there. I see he over here, I don't know what he...
Upstairs.
Upstairs.
It's the other side.
The other side. Here he has it
on the left side. And in
the
back room.
If you're facing the
arm. Oh, you face a different direction. Okay, yeah. So you face the different direction. Okay, but most Hasidic Rebbes, where do they sit? They have like it's part of the furniture. They have the amud. It's like all, it's all part of the stand, the amud, and then they have the stand for the Rebbe. So normally, I think it's. So left side? Right, so left side.
In
Landau's, it's the opposite.
On the right.
They're facing south.
Oh, because they're not facing north. They're not facing east. You can't bring a Raya from a shul that's not facing east. So think about the shuls, they face east. So they taka sit on the left. Is that the way it is?
This shul faces east.
Right, so upstairs and downstairs is different. I know Rabbi Frankel's shul, so Rabbi Frankel sits on the left. I know in Rabbi Halberstam, those are all facing east. Rabbi Halberstam is facing east and he sits on the left. Okay, I know in the Young Israel, my father's shul was on the left. But that's not a right, that's not east. They're not facing east. It's not a right, because they're not facing east. Okay, so this interesting idea of, interesting, which way are you going? What is a priority to you? Which way do you want to go? Which is your priority? Do you say the same principle of when a person comes to Beis Hamikdash, is he trying to be me'oirer himself to one of these in the Yanim of Ashirus or Chochma? Maybe it is interesting that you do have discretion in which way you go. Someone has to control the traffic. You don't have to have two lanes. It's two lanes. Some are going this way and some are going this way. Right? Obviously, if the whole Klal Yisrael is coming over here and they're going different directions, you have to be careful not to bump into each other. All right, let's go to the next set of psukim. Pasuk Yudbeis. V'chiyaseh nasi nedava. If a nasi, now we go to a new topic, nasi, he brings a nedava, oilo shlamim, an oilo or shlamim, nedava l'Hashem, uvenu fosach lo yashara poin nekodim. So this refers to the weekday, not only on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, does the Nasi come from the east? The Nasi comes from the east, even any day, Yimoy Sachal. Any one of the days of the week can come from the east. They open up the east gate, just like they open up the east gate from Shabbos, he departs, they close the gate after he leaves. Okay, let's see this pasuk based in the Mitzudot Stavit. Yudbeis v'chiyase b'shei shes yimei hamase posach loy lo v'derech v'yosa koin ha'oiv ha'oivid yases o'ilasav yashlamav b'yoyis o'imit sham kasha osav yom ha'shabas sho'isim ha'karbonis b'yos ha'sham v'amar b'yom ha'shabas v'hu ha'din b'yom ha'chodesh v'l'katsu loy z'choroi v'yotso yetze v'yizkar v'yosoy ger v'yashar b'yad achrei tseso. Now here the Mitzvah explains to you what the point of this pasuk is. If you recall back when we learned about Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, and we learned about the arrival of the Nasi, we learned that they do not wait for the Nasi to come to open the door. His people, or the Kohanim, they anticipate his arrival early in the morning, and they open the east gate early in the morning, and they don't close the east gate until the day is over. And the only one that's going to actually enter the Mikdash from the east will be the Nasi. Everyone else will just come and stand there and bow down. No one's going to actually enter. So why do they have to open the door early in the morning? The Melech is not scheduled to arrive until 9 o'clock. So why are they opening the door at 6 o'clock in the morning? That's the halacha. The halacha is on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, the doors are open 6 in the morning, and they're closed 6 in the afternoon, even though we know that he's not coming until 9 o'clock and he's going to leave after 10 o'clock. However, Yimoy Sachol, during the weekday, if the Nasi is coming to offer a private carbon oil, a private carbon shlamim, they only open the east gate when he comes. And the moment that he leaves, they close it immediately. So it doesn't even say open, doesn't even say the word yard, it just says when he comes. It says, no, it says upasachloi. It doesn't say upasachloi. They open for him. They do not open the door 6 in the morning. They open the door when he arrives. When he arrives, that's when they open, and the moment he leaves, that's when they close it. That is what this pasuk is teaching us about the opening of the doors. Now, to us, all these details, you know, why are we telling you all these little details? Obviously, there's a lot of significance. I just want to give you an example. Talk about Jewish history. Okay, Sha'al avicha v'zekenecha v'yimloch binu shnoi star v'dar. What is the koyach of learning history? So most people will tell you the koyach of learning history is, you know, you have to know all the details. You got to know what happened. There's what to learn from. I'm telling you the truth. That's not the koyach of learning history. You know, you can go to any little shul, and you can write an encyclopedia about the politics of what goes on between the janitors. The history of the janitors at the Young Israel of Midwood. Starting back 100 years ago, a long list. And all the politics, who gets to do this, who gets to do that, when this one didn't come, and the argument he had with this person in the shul, and how he befriended this person in the shul, is all of that relevant to study? No, it's not. The koyach of history is what you don't study. history is infinite, infinite. There's no sheer to the stories, the Baba Mises, the stories, the little details of every single thing that happened in this world from the time of Mises to Bereishis. It's no kunz to sit and to talk and talk forever and ever and tell you all the gossip and tell you all the controversies and all the fights. The koyach of a historian, of a Talmud Chacham who presents history, is what he doesn't tell you. To be able to weed out, to filter out the things that are totally not relevant. Chazal even said with regard to Nevuah, there were 1.2 million Nevi'im, at least 1.2 million Nevi'im, who gave over prophecy, just like Yechezkel, just like Yeshaya. And whose, where, how many of those 1.2 million prophets were their words recorded for posterity? 48. Only 48 made it into the final list. If that is true in regard to prophecy, Dvar Elokim, Dvar Elokim Chaim, Al Achas Kama V'Kama, when it comes to the study of Jewish history, not every little Baba Maisa is important to know. You know, you listen to some people, they talk and they tell you all these stories. So what's the point of knowing all this information? What, very nice. You tell me a juicy story between two Rosh Yeshivas that had a big fight about something. What's the point? What do you, is this, oh, there's something to learn. Really? Is there something to learn from every single little thing? Well, I guess it depends. You know, who's giving the share? Who's teaching you? Binu Shnois Dar Vidar. It's infinite. The koyach is what you don't say, what's not relevant. So when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, you know, you ask some of these questions. I have to know all these details. That when it comes Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, then we open the door 6 in the morning. And when the Melech leaves, and then when does the door close? The door is closed 6 in the afternoon. Oh, but the Melech's only coming for 1 hour, in the middle of the day, so why open the door early in the morning and close the door later in the afternoon? Torah tells us, that's what Yechezkel tells us. And what about when it's Yimei Sachal, the Sheish Yimei Chal, then you only open the door exactly the moment he comes and you close it the moment he leaves. Why is that so important to be recorded here in these psukim? Obviously, there's something very, very deep, there's something very significant, there's a very strong lesson. What it was, I don't know. But the fact that Yechezkel goes through the effort to tell you this piece of information, obviously there's a very powerful message being presented over here which requires understanding, and I don't have that for you, but at least I do want to make that point, because I heard this recently about history. You know, you listen to a lot of history tapes, different people who record history. It's a chokhma to know what to write and it's a chokhma what not to write. Yeah.
I'm not getting what you're trying to tell us.
I'm trying to say is if Yechezkel is telling us this information, there's a reason for it.
Yeah, but
it's not just he's trying to fill up the pages. There's obviously a reason for it.
But if we don't know the reason, then what? Then no reason.
No, so that demands of us to study it and right. to think about it and to come up with a reason.
Aren't so many of these things symbolic that we have to figure out what the symbol is?
Exactly, that's the point. The fact that it's being recorded here, it's not just being recorded just like a telephone book to fill up the pages. The fact that this information, which appears to be very, very, very irrelevant, is obviously, if he's telling us, obviously there is a chiddush, something very, very important about what's being presented over here.
So, the same, like if you go secular history, the best historical events are described hundreds of years after the event.
They only understood.
They understood. So the events which turn the history, then they write.
Okay, that's a koyach. That is a gift.
Some event which is very
right.
Important.
That is the gift of a true historian. He's able to take a very small, what appears to be an insignificant event, and show you that thing which you may appear to be very insignificant changed history, changed the world. And sometimes you only can appreciate that 100 years later. Exactly. But you sometimes, unfortunately, sometimes you have historians that focus on events that happened that are totally irrelevant. And they make out of it a whole Baba Maisa, and when you think about it, you think about it, are you really serious? Are you really serious? What? Gossip! National Enquirer! Exactly.
There are hundreds and hundreds of years that are left out of the Chumash.
Nothing is mentioned. Yeah. The first 75 years of Avraham Avinu's life is not one word. Right. What happened? 75 years. A lot of things must have happened during that time. Why didn't the Torah mention it to us? obviously it's not relevant for us.
Right.
It's not relevant for us. No. We don't have to know it.
Yeah, it's not a history book. Right.
What?
Because the Torah is not a history
book. It's a history book, exactly. But it's telling, it's teaching us lessons. It's teaching us, but I'm saying, but even history, I'm saying even the value of studying history. I'm just extrapolating. What is Torah is not a history book, but there are history books. There is a halacha. Rav Chutner was of the opinion that the studying of Jewish history has the same status. If I'm not mistaken, he writes this in one of the Mechtavim, is of Talmud Torah. To study Jewish history, you might say the mitzvah deraisa of Talmud Torah. So he writes, Binu Rav Chutner, Binu Shnois Dor Vador. So it's very nice. I love it. Everyone loves history. Who doesn't love history? You listen to history, then you listen to Jewish history, you listen to some people who give you a Jewish history, and they start telling you some juicy, juicy gossip. What's the purpose of this? Of this gossip and all of these stories? Oh, because did it really change anything? Did it really make us understand why? Is there a lesson? Is there a lesson? Is it important? If you want to gossip, I told you, you can tell me the politics of what goes on in the kitchen. You have five Mexicans, one Chinese fellow, and they have some, you know, there's some politics going on between them. We have to understand why he turns on the radio to this volume, and he doesn't like this song, and this one didn't come in, they called in sick this day because this Mexican was going to be there. Is this relevant? Is this relevant to know history of the world? It's not. So not every little thing that happens in history, in Jewish history, is also relevant, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a historian, but I have the impression that the historians who are interested in the relevant things are looking for cause and effect,
right?
For example. So from that, if we see cause and effect, then maybe we can derive lessons from that.
But sometimes...
Especially from our mistakes.
Sometimes historians get carried away. In the process of their research, they come up with interesting things, interesting information, and they present that information
their own biases,
exactly. And when you think about it, like, I just spent 2 hours either reading or listening or studying this very interesting event, and tell them, what difference does it make? I mean, it's a nice bubblemize, it's a nice novel, it's a nice story. Is this really in the category of Jewish history? I mean, is this something so important? Well, aren't there more important things to focus on than this little episode? I don't know. I'm just pointing that over here, because over here, this is a very bizarre thing that's going on over here. It's telling over here a very strange thing about opening up the doors. Opening up the doors. The difference between opening the doors on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and opening up the doors during the week, they're only opening the door for the Melech, and Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, we opened it the entire day, even though he's only coming for 1 hour, and during the 6 days of the week, we opened it only exactly when he comes. Let's finish up the Rashi on this Pasuk. Pasuk, we finish up the Mitzudos. Pasuk Rashi, Pasuk Yudbeis. When the Navi brings in the Dava, so what is it over here? We did, I believe we did, yes. The Ain Mi Bol Ishtachwas, Lachin Yiskra Miyad, Achar Itse, so yeah, we finished this, yeah. That's exactly what I said. But even the Nasi went to work. The Mitzudas just points out.
Everybody else went to work, that's why nobody was around.
To bow down.
They didn't come to bow down.
Okay, that's why. Okay, there's no one coming to bow down, so it's not necessary for the door to remain open the entire day. On Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, people are coming to bow down, so therefore, once anywhere they need to open the door for the Melech HaMashiach, so you might as well open it up early in the morning and leave it open the entire day, so that people can take it up. But those who are going to come will be able to bow down, but during the bow down. But those during the Shei Shema Maaseh, no one's coming. Everyone is working. Everyone is busy. No one's coming. So therefore, there's no need to keep it open the entire day. They only open it up at the moment when the Melech HaMashiach arrives. Rashi Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Yud Beis. V'chi Yaseh Hanasi Nedava B'Shei Shei Shema Maaseh. Pasuk Le'ashas Hashar. V'lo Lodi Konetz Bo LeHeichol. He's not coming here to enter into the Heichol. Elo Oimei Sham. So he's saying over here something very different. Rashi. The Melech HaMashiach is coming just to stand there. The Hakohanim Yasu es Alosa v'yeslomav v'yishtachavol, he will bow down v'yotza shnemar, kasher yaseh b'yoyim HaShabbos. like what the, like the, like they do on Yom. What does it mean over here? They do on Yom Hashabbos. Umo omer b'Yom Hashabbos v'omad al mezuzas hashar v'osu hakoyanim es olosoy acharei tzeisoy. Then he leaves. V'eino oimer kan v'hashar lo yisoger ad ha'arv. Does not say here the gate will remain open until the evening. Kmo she'omar b'Yom Hashabbos she'b'Yom Hashabbos oimer says v'shtachlu am ha'aretz. On a regular Shabbos, the common man comes to bow down by the Pesach Hasharhu. Lefich, therefore, manichoi pasuach, they leave it open. Avol b'chol, but during the weekday, ein darkam lovo lehishtachavoyis shakol echad osuk bimelachtoi. So it says that when Mashiach comes, it's going to be work. Okay, you're going to have to leave kol revoyis. I'm sorry. After Mashiach comes, back to work. You're going to have to go find a job. The koil will be shut down. That's what it says. Rav Meir, what are you going to do, Rav Meir? What's going to be? What's going to be, Rav Meir?
Your wife.
My wife will go crazy.
That's what it says. It says the koil is going to be closed for business. Lefichach v'sogares hashar. Acharet says so. They will close the gate and immediately after he leaves. Okay, so this concludes this little section. Okay, time goes by very quickly. We're up to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel discusses the Tamid. This is a big topic. This is a very big topic. The Tamid shall shachar, and the Tamid shall bein harbayim of the times of Mashiach. And that's the next Pesukim, the Olam Mefarshim on this.